This talk was recorded at Against the Stream Buddhist Meditation Society in Los Angeles and is freely offered for your enjoyment. For more information, please visit againstthestream.org.
There's a survival instinct inside of us that says, don't forgive, don't forget, you won't be safe. We're holding on to hatred because we think it's protecting us from that jerk at work. And when you start telling your mind to forgive, to let go, your mind, your heart, your survival instinct gets activated and says, are you fucking nuts? They're going to take advantage of you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to betray you. You know, unconsciously, this is all happening. And so we're contending with a mind-body-heart system that is wired, actually, for hatred and resentment. Your survival instinct, fight or flight, or freeze, right? And so asking for kindness, for forgiveness, for loving, unconditional mercy and friendliness, there's a part of us, the ego, the survival instinct in Buddhism, what we call Mara, that gets very agitated by it. It is easy to stay resentful. It's natural to stay angry, to stay hateful, to stay stuck. That's the stream. When the Buddha says this path leads against the stream of resentment, the stream of judgment, the stream of fear, the stream of hatred. Loving kindness towards ourselves and all living beings, radical against the stream, counter instinctual action. So if it's hard, of course it's hard. If it's easy, I'm a little worried about you. No, I'm not sure if you're a human being or if you've had a lobotomy or you're on a ton of acid or something. I'm not sure. It's, you know, of course it's a little bit difficult to get there. Or you're already enlightened. You're just way more kind of liberated than the rest of us. But of course it's difficult to genuinely, heartfeltly. We don't start there, we get there. That's upstream activity, right? That's so my encouragement is to persevere, and eventually it'll become easier and easier, and you'll start to mean, first you'll start to mean it, you'll still won't, you know, do it, but you'll start to at least mean it, and then eventually you'll start to actually feel it. It feels to me like I was years into the practice before I started to mean it, and years into it before I started to feel it. And now, you know, 25 years into doing this practice on an almost daily basis, it's pretty easy. But it's been 25 years. Primarily, forgiveness and loving kindness and compassion, at least at the beginning, is for oneself. It's for your own freedom. It's for your own happiness. And sometimes people will say, well, they haven't earned my kindness or my forgiveness or my compassion. They don't have to earn it because it's for you. This is what Anna is saying. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be free. And holding on to hatred blocks your happiness, blocks your freedom, blocks your well-being. They actually can't really coexist. In the Loving Kindness Sutta, which maybe we'll look at in a minute, the Buddha talks about the necessity of forgiving all living beings. He says, do not despise any living being. Radiate kindness upon all living beings. And he talks about letting go of fixed views. When we're holding on to resentment, we're holding on to, you know, Anna's talking about somebody her whole life. I've got that person too, almost all of us do. Somebody who was abusive, who was unkind, who betrayed us in some way. And for me, I have this stepfather who was very abusive, very difficult to me, to my mother, my siblings. And I see that I still, my mind has him fixed from when I'm 4 years old, and he's like 26. The dude's like 70-something now. But I still have him fixed as this 20-something asshole who's being abusive. He's not that person anymore. he's got the karma of that action, the suffering that he was in and the abuse that he was. But I've got him fixed as this 26, I don't know how old he was, but 20-something, maybe 30, I don't know. 40 years ago, still fixed. In order for liberation, we have to also understand impermanence. People change. They are fully responsible for their actions. In order to forgive, also, so key, so important for me, to be able to see the difference between the actor and the action and send forgiveness to that suffering being. Not what they did, not condoning the unskillful, unwise, harmful actions, but having compassion for how much pain they must have been in to act that way. So completely delusional and filled with suffering that they could hurt another being. So it really changed. Then forgiveness becomes possible. And again, I'm with Anna for the most part, which says, for ourselves. For ourselves. For our own liberation. And hopefully we'll get to the place where you'll actually have to have enough compassion to also see that all beings are also worthy of your compassion.
You said that's after 10 years, right?
You're pretty close to 10 years, I think, then.
No,
please.
So if you do it for yourself, you don't necessarily have to pick up the phone and say, I forgive you. That comes next.
She said, since we're doing it for ourselves, we don't necessarily have to pick up the phone and say, I've hated you my whole life. You're a real son of a bitch. And I've decided to forgive you. Usually not. Picking up the phone, my perspective, is more about when you have caused harm. And often when we hate somebody, we've reacted and caused harm to them. So making amends for our actions is often useful and necessary. Picking up the phone or making the appointment to say, please forgive me for how I mistreated you. But I wouldn't necessarily pick up the phone and say, I'm just going to let you know that you haven't asked or anything, but I am now ready. I've decided you're not worthy of it. You don't deserve it. But I do. So I'm going to forgive you. Click.
Got it.
I didn't really need to get into forgiveness as the topic, although of course it came up. But since we're talking about it, I do want to say it's a process. You know, it's like 10 years doing it over and over. And even when you get to the point where you forgive, and I believe it has happened for me, and I believe it'll happen for all of you if you persevere. Maybe it already has for many of you. Well, you get to the moment where you actually forgive everybody everything. You'll get to a moment in your practice where you have ease of loving kindness for all living beings. And you mean it, and you feel it. And usually it's after years of practice for most of us. And it's sincere, and it's not bullshit, and it's not spiritual make-believe. It's grounded, real depth of heart, open-heartedness. And it happens. Now, something that's important to remember is that when that happens, if and when that happens, that it's probably not permanent. Forgiveness is often not permanent. And so sometimes saying, I forgive you, is a little bit dishonest, even if you fully mean it. And sometimes you need to qualify, I forgive you in this moment. And I was quite shocked when I had this experience in myself a decade, you know, well into my practice. I had this experience of freedom, of I forgive everybody. And I, like 10 years of striving for it, meditating every day like my hair was on fire. And then finally, like, I'm here, and then thinking, like, all right, I got there. I forgave everybody, even the stepdad. Then you start thinking about, what about Hitler? Do I forgive Hitler? Yeah, I can have some forgiveness for Hitler. You know, everybody. Everybody. The cops. All of the cops. Reagan, Bush. You know, you start sort of testing it. And there's sometimes a time where you're like, yep. Yeah, I can see the suffering, I can see the joy, I can have an ease of open-hearted. For my experience is that it doesn't last. You have that moment, and then you might get reactivated and resentful again, and, you know, back into it. Forgiveness is a practice, it's a process. Some of the resentments let go forever. The big ones, in my experience, the abuses or the big ones that I've been hating for my whole life, I will come back over and over and call for repeated forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a decision that we can make. It's not a phone call that we can make and say, I'm done. Like, in this moment, I'm done. I've let go, at least temporarily. But we'll see what happens in 5 minutes. And, like, at work, right? Like, oh, I forgave you this morning in meditation, but then I got to work and I had to deal with you. Right? Or your family. Totally forgave my mom until I saw her. And then I didn't forgive her anymore. I was pissed off all over again. And I had to forgive again. And feeling worthy of it. And like I was saying, it pushes a survival instinct button. There's this way that we're wired that says stay nervous, stay anxious, stay vigilant, make sure nobody's trying to eat you. You know, this sort of survival instinct that's kind of wired to, like, am I safe? Is somebody trying to eat me? Can I eat them? Should I mate with it? Right? Eat, fuck, kill. It's crude, but if you really watch your mind, and, you know, you'll see that there's this almost constant, like, survival-based reptilian brain in control, and it does not like this sort of ease, relaxation. It feels unsafe. The Buddha called it Mara. It's this sort of devil-like character that's like, no, don't love. Don't love yourself. Don't love all living beings. Stay stuck. Don't get free. Feels really threatened. The survival instinct feels really threatened by that. So then the answer, of course, is persevere, because you're retraining your mind. You're rewiring your heart. And it's going to take some time to get to the place. And especially when we've had pain in our childhoods and we have some sort of low self-esteem, there's some sort of self-consciousness, low self-worth, when there's been some traumas, then even more so, it feels like the people that were supposed to love me didn't do a very good job, and now I feel like I don't deserve to even love myself. And I'm not saying that that's the case for you, but for a lot of people in this room, that is the case. And it makes it even a more of an uphill battle when your parenting was subpar, and most of us had subpar parents. And when you didn't learn your own true worth and nature. And whether it was the parents or the bullies in the schoolyard, or, you know, about your sexual orientation in this world that didn't support that, or gender or size or whatever it was. Like, almost everybody has some internalized oppression or something. So it makes genuine loving kindness towards ourselves tough. But you'll get there. Maybe it'll take a decade. I kind of feel like I was a sort of a slow learner for it to be a whole decade for me. But I was coming from a place of a lot of anger and violence and having a lot to forgive myself for. I hurt a lot of people for a long time before I started meditating. So some people, I think a couple of years in can really settle in, you know. But rarely does it happen right away. Yeah, not tomorrow. I like to quote the Dalai Lama who said, commit to your practice. So in this case, loving kindness, do it every day. Even 15 or 20 minutes. He said, do it every day, and then in a decade, check in on your progress. Do it for 10 years and then check in and see